your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in here to wrap up the first half of KER Politics. We've been talking in a number of the daily editorials this week, which you radio listeners don't unfortunately get a chance to hear. I'll tell you how you can do that at some point in time. But voter fraud is something that I am getting very, very involved with. Frieda did an excellent daily editorial earlier in the week, and I asked her if she'd repeat that, because voter fraud is something that is going to hit us right between the eyes in the upcoming November election of this year. Frieda, what do you have to say?
Well, thank you so much, Al, for contributing and working on this. We really could use that, and you're going to make a huge difference, so I appreciate that. And that's why I went on into this topic as well, because we need to keep re-identifying what is voter fraud. And then again, the next part of my editorial is going to be how to stop it. So, you know, voter fraud has been documented throughout this nation's history by historians and journalists. In one New York election in 1844, 55,000 votes were recorded, even though there were only 41,000 eligible voters. So let's look at this picture a little bit. How is it that this keeps going on in history, and even more so recently? There are different types of election frauds. Number one is the impersonation fraud at the polls. They actually go in, they vote in the name of other legitimate voters, and votes and voters who have died, moved away, or lost their right to vote because they are felons, but remain registered, well, they're fraudulent, and they go ahead and they use these people to vote. They use their names. And then there's false registration, using false names or addresses. And we have more going on here with duplicate voting, which is registering in multiple locations. So there's so many kinds of fraudulent votes. And just to continue, this is something that is voters are getting paid to either cast a vote for another person that they're really not interested in doing, absentee ballot for a candidate. They're paying these voters to cast some either an in-person or absentee ballot for a candidate. And then there's the fraudulent use of absentee ballots, forging a signature or illegally telling the voters who to vote for. Illegal voting, illegal registration, and voting by individuals who are not U.S. citizens are convicted felons or not eligible to vote. Illegal assistance at the polls, forcing or intimidating voters, particularly the elderly, disabled, the illiterate, or those for whom English is a second language, to vote for certain candidates while supposedly providing them with assistance, altering the vote count, changing the vote count either in a precinct or at the central location where votes are counted. Each state is generally responsible for the administration of its own electoral systems. The state government must take the responsibility seriously and adopt policies sufficient to secure their elections against fraud, including efforts by non-citizens to vote and by citizens registered in multiple states. So just imagine how much of this fraud is going on that we have not been looked at, and specifically the ones that I mentioned. If we could adhere to this and really adopt a way of knowing what to look for, would really change the way we vote. And I'm going to continue, Al, unless you want to say something, how to stop.
No, I want you to continue. You're doing good. This is almost like a civics lecture, and I appreciate it. Go for it.
Well, thank you, Al. You know, because we need to know. I didn't know this till I researched it either, of all the different kinds of voter frauds to look for. And then we have to look at how to stop this. And the Heritage Foundation has outlined several policies states should adopt. A required government issued identification to proof of citizenship. So we should all have this type of identification. States should enter into interstate voter registration, cross-check progress to identify voters and the programs registered in multiple states. So we need to do that as well. And they should verify the accuracy of their voters' registrations by comparing with jury forms and other government records to identify non-citizens so they can be removed from the voter rolls. The federal government should cooperate with state efforts to clean up their registrations and make Department of Homeland Security and other data available to state officials for this purpose alone. There are now 34 states that have laws requiring voters to show some form of identification at the polls, and a small number of states have extended that ID requirement to absentee ballots should that be implemented. So, for example, in New Jersey, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, most ballots have been sent to active registered voters, and the return envelopes are barcoded so ballots can be traced. Voter signatures will be checked against the registration rolls, and anyone mailed a ballot who attempts to vote in person will be given a provisional ballot that will be verified and counted after all the mail ballots have been processed. So in 2020, over 70 million Americans have requested mail ballots, which means that about half of all mail ballots have been mailed. Look at what we need to do, which is something that if we can structure this, the opportunity to have mail fraud will decrease, and the votes that will be coming in will be legitimate, and we'll be able to elect a president in a legitimate manner, because right now everything's up in the air. We don't have the structure. We don't have the know-how. We don't have the background of the people and the ID checks that we need. And we should really have picture ID checks as well, because that really targets who that person is in front of you. We've been too careless. We've looked away too much. And this country, America, is noted to have freedom to be able to vote in a way that's democratic. And we've taken that democracy away from our voting polls.
Well, I got to tell you, we got to watch. We got to keep in mind what Dr. Frieda is saying. I would appreciate, I want to ask listeners a favor to me. Do what I'm going to do. Volunteer in the polls to be an observer. I think that'll at least help a little bit. Thanks, Frieda.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.